This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We're always eager to hear from you here. We certainly are. And so to that end, I would like to give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We do, we do. We're also available for you out there in social media land. I invite you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. When you go out there to that YouTube channel, you're going to see that chat feature. All you have to do is put in your question, who you are, where you're calling from, and how you're listening. We'll get it retrieved up on the board, and we'll be able to address it. In addition to that, we're available for you through texting. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Again, give us your info, who you are, where you are, how you're listening, and, you know, of course, your question or comment. That's important. Do know that if you text us, message and data rates may apply depending upon your plan. If you are not in North America, the toll-free number is not going to work for you. So we have a number for you. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. Country code 1-205-271-2985. We certainly do encourage you to get in touch with us today. Again, that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. Well, you know, yesterday I really didn't get a chance to tell you about some of the marvelous stuff that's going on at EWTN, here at EWTN, as well as through Women of Grace. There's a reason for that. We were so busy with Sue Brinkman talking about UFOs. That was really interesting. Maria called in, I think it was Maria that called in right at the end of the show yesterday. We were not able to get her question up there. So if you're listening today, do call in with your question regarding that. We can chit-chat about it. It's very interesting, isn't it, to consider all of these things and to consider the larger, theological context of all of that. We certainly aren't theologians. I'm not a theologian. Sue's not a theologian. We have theologians, and we're very, very grateful for that. And to that end, I invite you to get out to EWTN's website, because at EWTN website, there are all kinds of beautiful articles on questions of importance that you would ask. They're located in the documents or the library area of EWTN.com. That's the website. In addition to that, there's all kinds of other resources available for you at EWTN's website. We have a lot of things for you at our website too. You see, we are so blessed today, aren't we? I think we're going to be held very accountable by God, because we live in a day and time where information is immediately available to us, right? But I always like to make a distinction between information and knowledge. You know, information and knowledge are not the same things. We sometimes, I think, seem to think that information and knowledge is the same, but it's not. Knowledge really requires a type of organized approach to studying a particular field or a particular topic, right? And it means digging down, digging in, digging deeply into it, so that we have a framework out of which we can operate, and then, you know, we can add other investigative endeavors to that framework and grow in a body of knowledge. It's sometimes called in academic circles a corpus, a body of knowledge, right? So, you know, information, on the other hand, are incidental facts. And the facts are interesting. You know, very interesting. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we're bright in any given field. It doesn't. It just means that we have a lot of miscellaneous facts, you know? And sometimes we want those miscellaneous facts. They're very useful for us, you know? And we should look them up, you know? Sometimes, you know, I'm asking, Alexa to give me information about a recipe or how to prepare something or something like that. That's information. It's useful. Sometimes it's very pertinent to what is at hand for us. But it certainly isn't knowledge, you know. Knowledge really requires an organized system of approach to studying a particular area or topic field, you know. So all that being said, the beauty and the wonder, however, of what we have available to us today provides us with the capacity to get a lot of information about a lot of different things, but also to become knowledgeable. To become knowledgeable about something. Now, you know, obviously it doesn't replace the kind of study that we might get in a university setting. But, you know, we do have that capacity to tailor what it is that we're researching or seeking to know more about by way of the internet and by way of what's available to us. And then we find that there are many websites, such as EWTN's website and our website, that can aid us in this quest and that are reliable in the sense of orthodoxy, reliable in the sense of providing us with not people's conjectures, but what is tried and true, especially according to the standard of what the church teaches. So I really want to encourage you to use these kinds of good websites. And not all websites are created equal. I mean, it might have a Catholic name on it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's line with church teaching, that it's faithful to church teaching. There's a lot that goes by the name Catholic today that is not what we would consider to be faithful to the magisterium of the church, right? Or to the catechism. But you're not going to find anything like that at EWTN's website, and you're not going to find anything at our website like that. So we invite you to use these resources as you continue to grow in your life of faith. At our website, we've got all kinds of good stuff for you. Our upcoming events are there. Drawing your attention to November the 14th, that's today. Tonight, we've got an evening of grace for you. So if you've never dipped your toes into Women of Grace, as I say, dip them in. You can do this evening. It's free of charge. You register right there online. We'll send you the link, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's going to be a lovely, lovely opportunity for you. The topic is one I think that we all need to know more about, and that's discerning God's will. How do we discern God's will for us? What does it mean to discover God's will? How is uniformity to God's will the goal and summit of our spiritual life? And what does that mean? So those kinds of questions are going to be investigated tonight at our evening of grace that is free of charge. It's going to begin this evening. Let me tell you exactly when. At 7 p.m. Eastern time, and it will run until 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So do some adjusting there based on your time zone. But we're inviting you to join us. Two really wonderful regional coordinators are going to lead it, Linda DeGonzaga and Denise McCain. You will love both of these women. They're just fantastic. I'll tell you, you can't do any better than free, right? So we invite you to join us for the Evening of Grace tonight. I want to invite you to this Saturday. Getting excited. As a matter of fact, I'm in the midst of packing. November the 16th, this Saturday, Advent, Walking with Mary, hosted by St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church in Wildwood, Florida, will find me there. I'm making three presentations that day. Begins at 8 a.m., ends at 2:30. We're going to feed you lunch and breakfast, but the best food of all, the Eucharist, when we come together for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at 8 a.m. More to come on the other side of the break, 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. I'm laughing and smiling. I am so excited to tell you about something that's available at EWTN's religious catalog. It's putting a big smile on my face just thinking about it. I want you to get out there and take a look at their Joy, Love, Faith Tree tea towel. I love, love, love the tea towels that EWTN's religious catalog sells. I want to tell you something. I probably own one of just about every single one of their tea towels. I think I own this one too, because I bought up a whole bunch of their Christmas tea towels. They're so pretty. And this obviously is one of the holiday tea towels that they have. They're just beautiful. And they do make great gifts. Don't tell anybody I know, though, because they're all getting tea towels this year as part of their Christmas. I mean, I just love them. And I got to tell you, the fabric that they're made out of, I'm not quite sure what it is. It's probably some kind of a, you know, really, really absorbent cotton. Cotton's absorbent anyway. But gee, you know, I just love them. I don't want to use any of my other tea towels. I just use the tea towels that I have purchased from EWTN's religious catalog. And they've got all kinds of other beautiful opportunities for you there for your Christmas shopping. But you got to include the tea towels. That's all I can tell you. You just have to. And when you do, and when they come, you know, just say a little Hail Mary for me. Maybe every time you take it out of the drawer, just say, oh God, please bless Johnette. She's obsessed with these tea towels. And I really kind of am. But anyway, EWTN's religious catalog has them. There's a bunch of different designs. As I say, I've got several of them. You can choose the Joy, Love, and Faith tree in green or in red. I have it in red. The three wise men. I love the three wise men. I have them too. The trumpeting angel. I have that one. Star of David. I'm not sure I have. Which, you know, I'm going to be on campus a little later. I might have to dip into the religious catalog shop that's on campus. I'll tell you what, they're sure to become a treasure for any kitchen because they're a treasure to me. So just get out to EWTNRC.com to order them. Remember that it's free standard shipping if you order online and your order is $75 or more. That applies, of course, only here in the United States. It is, you know, standard shipping, and use the code FREE at checkout. You know, I'll tell you another little story. I was laughing. You saw me laughing when I came back, if you're out there on YouTube, because I was telling Rich this little story. So Jack came home from work yesterday, and I had a religious catalog bag sitting on the bed. Now, the interesting thing was I was on campus yesterday because I had a meeting. So he came in, the bag had been in the closet for a couple of weeks. Ladies, I don't know if you do that, but that's what I do. But anyway, it contains items that I'm going to give for a birthday present to my sister. So all that being said, I had it sitting on the bed, but he hadn't seen it. So he walked in, he saw the bag, and he said, you know, Johnette, there is no law that says every time you are on campus, you have to purchase something from the religious catalog shop. And I said, oh, I've had that for a couple of weeks. You know, but I'll tell you, it's a terrible temptation for me. Anyway, that's way too much information for you today on this Thursday. We're inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'll tell you what, maybe during the break at the bottom of the hour, maybe I will dash downstairs and pull one of those tea towels up so that you can see it if you're out on YouTube. So you can all go out onto YouTube. But I want you to call me. And if you're at YouTube, I want you to send a message to us. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you. Matthew Gubensky answering the phones. Give him a big old howdy. Hey, let him know if you're a first-time caller, and I'll ring my first-time caller bell for you. Also, inviting you to leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Use the chat feature to do that. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening to us. Put your question in there and we'll get it retrieved. You can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Give us the same information, who you are, where you are, how you're listening. And do know that data rates and message rates may apply depending upon your plan. In the meantime, though, we're going to go to Barb. I'm so excited. She's a first-time caller. Please do give us a call today. This is Thursday. I like to open it up for any question that you have on your mind or for prayer, whatever is going on in your life. I'm happy to talk about it. Barb is in Omaha, Nebraska, ringing my bell. So happy to be with you, Barb. How are you?
I'm blessed.
I'm glad. Listening via Spirit Catholic Radio, I want to mention.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
You're
welcome. I attended at a different church in Omaha that I've been to a few times, but it hadn't for a while. And So the pastor started the homily by saying, I'm sure that you're all feeling remorse and sadness. He said, I've had several calls this week about the results of the election, and I just want you people to know that you need to just stay with those feelings of sadness, and that they, you know, will pass. And then he said, you know, we're the only predominantly African American parish, you know, in this city, which I didn't really know what that would have had anything to do with. But he just went on and on about, you know, the results and how sad it was. And never once did he mention that we should, you know, vote pro-life. And I just was really shocked because I was stunned, you know, that that was basically what his whole homily was about.
Well, Barb, I'm stunned. I'm stunned to hear this. This is shocking, and it's very upsetting for a number of reasons. First of all, you know, let's just talk a little turkey here. We are Catholic. We are Catholic Americans, not American Catholics. We're Catholic Americans. Our identity, the deepest part of our being, is the fact that we are Catholic. We are baptized in Christ Jesus through the church that Jesus Christ founded. So we are Catholic first, and we have to vote with a Catholic mind and a Catholic heart. If we have candidates that do not measure up to the full standard of church teaching, we vote for the candidate that comes closest. How anybody could vote for a candidate that is in favor of killing a child in the womb at any point during its gestation, whether it is newly conceived or whether it is 9 months and ready to be delivered out of the mother's body, how anybody could support a candidate that supports that kind of an agenda is totally beyond me. I don't think that race has anything to do with it.
I didn't either. I don't even know why he brought it up.
I don't either. Now, you know, this is one of the problems that we've had. And if you've watched any of the television programs, you know, that are more conservative in nature, there's a lot of discussion about identity politics. And that's much of what we saw happening in this election. We saw this segmentation of people according to their gender, according to their race, according to their belief system, right? But, you know, that is not the way in which we're called to approach the way in which we vote. And for those of us that are Catholic, we're called to vote according to the heart and the mind of Holy Mother Church. And for a priest of the church to suggest otherwise, I think is egregious. I think it's egregious. I'm not judging the man. I'm judging the message. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's an egregious message. And it is one that further separates and further divides. And God is not in separation and division. Our God is a God. Mm-hmm. He's one God, three persons in one God. And he's created us in his image and likeness. And we are called to be individuals who seek that unity among the brotherhood of man, and not to separate, not divide. But there is one that wants to divide, and his name is Satan. He wants to divide. And so, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to you, Barbara. I'm just sharing with you, basically. But we are of one mind in this. And I just think it's absolutely sad. And I want to say something more here. This is the disconnect. This is what I can't for the life of me figure out. I cannot understand why the African-American population is so riveted, especially the women, because the women primarily within the African American contingency were the ones that voted more for the pro-abortion candidate rather than the one that is most pro-life. I can't understand it, and the reason why I can't understand it is because the effort the effort of Planned Parenthood is the elimination of certain sections, segments rather, of the population. That was Margaret Sanger's whole premise. That's what she wanted to do. Her whole thing was to eliminate entire swaths, entire segments, entire populations based on race or religion. And so this is why we see Planned Parenthood in those locations, in cities and communities where the African-American population and now the Hispanic population is large. It's there for a reason. It's not there. There is no health care for women involved in abortion. This is not reproductive health. It's the opposite. The whole phrase is oxymoronic to the reality. You know, abortion, reproduction don't stand in the same category together, right? Health and murder do not stand in the same category together. So this is a euphemism that's making something that's heinous palatable. And so when you look at the underlying premise of why Planned Parenthood was founded, and you find where those Planned Parenthood centers are typically located, they're there for a reason. So why would the black population be so riveted on eliminating its progeny, eliminating its future generations? I don't understand it. And if you look at statistics, you'll see that the percentages of abortions, are coming from the very targeted groups of individuals that is in accordance with that underlying premise of what Planned Parenthood was founded on. So that is such a disconnect in my mind. I can't, on every level, it makes no sense to me, Barbara. And I'm sorry that you experienced that. You know, I don't know if you had an opportunity to talk to the pastor afterwards. I think that I would have approached him had I been there, simply to say, Father, you have to help me understand. You know, what are you so upset about? Help me to understand why this is sad. I don't understand. I don't understand why people are grieving. You know, why we're furthering this segmentation of the church, of the mystical body of Christ. You know, so anyway, obviously it's an upsetting reality for me, Barb.
I put a call into him, but he hasn't called me back, so I guess I'll try again.
Yeah. Well, just ask him. I mean, I think that when there's a situation like this, and this is just, I think, pretty good advice, just on any kind of a topic that is a topic that is contentious, the question to ask is, you know, please help me to understand. You know, I want to understand. And I mean, and that ought not to be just a statement that is insincere. It should be a sincere. I would want to understand how he can come to that conclusion. I personally would would like to understand that, you know. What is your thinking process on this? You know, tell me the logical development that you went through to arrive at this conclusion. I'd really like to know.
And he isn't African American, you know, or anything. You know, the pastor isn't. You know,
the pastor's not African American.
No.
Oh, gee, Louise, that is even more curious. Well, I wonder what his. Well, I'm glad that you shared that with me because I was thinking he was African American.
No.
So I that's why I was like, I really, but I don't understand this either. In that context, it's, you know, how can he make the assumption that that's the direction that the majority of his parishioners, he might have had a couple, he said a couple called him, but how could he mm-hmm. run to that assumption, right? That the majority of his congregation would think that, you know, or even voted mm-hmm. in that way. I mean, that's mm-hmm. making an egregious assumption, to use the word again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Barb, we have lots of work to do, my friend. Lots and lots of work to do.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I think, you know, this scourge of abortion that has hung as a funeral pall P-A-L-L, over our nation, is not necessarily going to be decided by, you know, taking the law off the book. It's gone back to the states. That's probably where it should have been all along. Well, I think that the Supreme Court justices knew that. We know that even Ruth Bader Ginsburg initially said to the justices when this thing was being passed, this is not going to stand because the judiciary is not a legislative branch. And it didn't go through legislation. It came out of the judiciary. So there's that. Aside from that, it's become very ingrained in the cultural mindset. So I think it'll take a long time to reverse that. But this is one of the reasons I think why the work that we do at Women of Grace is so important. What we try to do through the apostolate of Women of Grace, as well as through the television programming and the radio programming, is to help women come to understand who they are in God's eyes, to really help them to understand the great gift of their authentic femininity. How they are created, the majesty and the glory that they are in the eyes of God. And I think that once women come to see, the beauty and the wonder that is theirs, how they fit into God's plan, what their metaphysical reality is, once they come to understand that, I think that we can hopefully come to a point in time where even if abortion law remains in effect in states, that it becomes an unused law, that women just don't opt for that because they'll have a full recognition of who they are. That's my hope and my dream. Women of Grace seeks to transform the world one woman at a time. And I'll tell you, when we as women know who we are in the eyes of God, that is not too big of a goal to seek to accomplish. Barb, thank you for your call today. You just stand firm, good sister in Christ. Stand firm in your convictions. Hopefully you'll be able to talk to this priest and just ask him the question, help me understand how you arrived at that conclusion. More to come on the other side of the break. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. Looking forward to talking with you. We'll be right back.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. I'm so excited to spend this time with you. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm inviting you to give us a call here today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. If you're in North America, and do know that that number is toll-free for you if you're in North America. In addition to that, we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Michael McCall will retrieve it. He'll get it up on the board for me. Matthew Gubensky is going to answer your phone call. Let both gentlemen know if you're a first-timer, submitter, and or caller, and I will ring. There I go. I'm ringing. Ring. I will ring my little welcome bell for you to welcome you for your debut on the program. So we invite you to do that. Always inviting you to get onto our website, womenofgrace.com. Take a look at what's coming up. I'm inviting you to join us this evening for an evening of grace. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern time, runs until 8:30 p.m. It is free of charge. Ladies, take advantage of the opportunity. It's a freebie. So I invite you to sign up. You have to sign up because we need to send you the link. So you can do that right at our website, womenofgrace.com. Going to be in Wildwood, Florida. I was telling you about that at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church this Saturday. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a lovely day, 8 to 2:30. It starts with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Then we have breakfast. Then I give a talk. We will have lunch. I'll give two more talks. And we'll call it a day at that point. But it's going to be beautiful. It is in preparation for Advent. we're preparing for the time of preparation. And that's a good idea. It's a good idea to do. And it's called Walking with Mary, Advent Walking with Mary. So I'm really excited about the topic. I love speaking about our Blessed Mother. Looking at her and her preparation for the coming of the Christ child is what we'll take a look at. I'm always eager to have the opportunity to share about our mother. And this time of the year makes it such a beautiful time to begin to delve more deeply into the mystery of the incarnation and gee whizzikers, all kinds of things I'm going to be sharing. So if you're in the area, please do join us for that. Now, I had told you about the wonderful tea towels that are available for you at EWTN's religious catalog, and I told you that I bought several of them. I did not buy the Star of David. That's another one that you can get. It's there for you. It's quite lovely. It was just that I had already purchased a whole bunch of them. I love them. So I did run down from our studio here at home to get them to show you. So if you're out on YouTube, I'm going to hold them up for you. This is the Three Wise Men. I was really particularly struck by this one. Look at that. Isn't that lovely? Isn't it beautiful? I mean, it's just going to add a little panache to the kitchen, right, for the holiday season. This is the other one. This is the Joy, Love, and Faith tree. It comes in green and red. I bought it in red. See? Isn't that pretty? I love it. And then here is another one. This is the Trumpeting Angel one, and it, too, is very pretty. Look at that. I'm trying to get the whole thing in there. Oh, I don't know that I can get. Oh, there, you can see it that way. So I'm really excited by these tea towels, and as I told you, I just use them all the time. Now these ones, of course, are for Christmas, but they have others that are non-seasonal. And just very lovely. Some with beautiful quotes on them. Some, with Marian symbols on them. Just lovely things. Anyway, get out to EWTN's religious catalog and buy up a bunch of them. You will not be sorry. They are just so good. Looking forward to hearing from you. All of our lines are available to you right now. So why not give us a call? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. My mind is turning towards Christmas. Today, I'm going to be in studio, and I'm interviewing Mike Aquilina on his book on the angels, available for you at EWTNRC.com, and also Father Dwight Longenecker. Now, let me just say that Mike has two books on the angels, and one of them is a book. The other one is a book, but it's a year with the angels, and it's Meditations for Every Day. That is a beautiful book. I should have brought them up here to hold up for you, but I didn't. All of that being said, so I'm very minded in that direction right now. And then my second guest is Father Dwight Longenecker. We're going to be talking about two of his books, and he has one book called Mystery of the Magi. And I had interviewed him on this book back in 2017. It is fascinating. It's a fascinating book. The quest to identify the three wise men. This is a chock full book. Of course, it's appropriate for the Christmas season, but it's appropriate for any time of the year because you're going to find out a lot of information in it. And then there is another book that he wrote more recently that I will be interviewing him on, and it's called The Secret of the Shepherds. And this is very interesting. And I'm very eager to interview him on this book because he gets into Mary and Joseph. He tells us a lot about who Mary and Joseph might, who they were and how they came together, what we can extrapolate based on sacred scripture tradition and the customs of the time. And also the location where Jesus was born. Sometimes we see it depicted as a stable. Sometimes we see it depicted as a cave. So which is most accurate and why, based on the customs of the day? So we're going to be getting into all of these kinds of things with him today. So you're going to want to watch for those programs. But both Mike and Father Dwight have been guests of mine in the past on two of the on angels for Mike and on the mystery of the Magi for Father Dwight. So you can get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. You can do a search for those in our TV section. You'll see television up there. Click on that. There's a search feature there. Just put in either of their names or the topic, angels or Magi, and those programs will come up and you'll be able to watch them. And then when these new ones come out, you'll be able to watch those too, right there on EWTN television. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can join us. It's 833-288-3986. I am very eager to hear from you today. You know that I love having that holy conversation with you. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Pick up the phone. Give us a call here. We have lots we want to share. So it's interesting because tonight the theme for the Evening of Grace is on uniformity to God's will, discerning God's will. How do we do that? And Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene, in his beautiful book, Divine Intimacy, also available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog. I feel like I'm doing, you know, the Religious Catalog show. But all of that being said, this also makes a beautiful Christmas present, by the way, or a present for anything, is just a wonderful, wonderful book that helps us as we seek to make our way, right, to union with God. And it's very, very beautiful. And it talks with us in this one whole section in here about the quest of the soul to know God, how it is that we come into that kind of deep awareness of God within us, right? And we know that if we're in the state of grace, that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so he helps for us to appreciate that reality. And to the extent that we're striving to live a life in the Lord, to the extent that we're really trying to do his will, to that extent, does it become easier to discern what his will is? And I always tell people just, you know, thumbnail sketch of how we discern God's will. First of all, we ask ourselves if it is in line with sacred scripture. You know, then we ask ourselves, not only is it in line with sacred scripture, but is it in line with church teaching? Right. So, you know, if it's outside of either one of those, well, then clearly it's not the will of God, because God is not going to contradict himself. He's not going to tell you to do something that is outside of his specified will for us as given to us through sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. But there's a lot of nuances after that. You know, like, do I take this job or do I take that job, or do I marry this person or do I marry that person, or am I even called to marriage? Am I called to religious life or priesthood? Discerning that now. You know, we have to really sit quietly in that time of prayer and open ourselves up. And we have to strive to be, I'm going to use this phrase, this word that all of the spiritual masters use. We have to have an attitude of detachment, a holy indifference to the outcome. Now, that's hard, because oftentimes we come to prayer and we're discerning God's will, but we really know what we want to do. I don't know if you're like that, but I got to call myself back from that. And I've got to ask the Lord to help me to get to the point where I have holy detachment. Because if I'm not, if I don't have that indifference to either direction, how am I going to be able to completely divest myself of my will in the outcome? Right? Now, you might ask, well, is it wrong to have a preference? It's not really wrong to have a preference, but it's wrong to try to make that preference happen because we want it to be, right? It's wrong when we are not considering other matters that might be impacted by the decision that we're going to make. It's wrong if we're sensing that God's leading us in one direction, but we so want to go in the other direction that we try to drown out that prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's where we get into trouble. That's where we get into a pickle. And God will let us use our free will and go in that direction, but we'll never, one of two things will happen. We will be completely dissatisfied in that position and all will fall apart, or we'll never know the deep satisfaction and fulfillment that we would have known had we chosen God's will. And I hear it over and over again when I'm talking with people. So anyway, we want to make these decisions in harmony with God's will. Want to get to Penny? She's in New Jersey. Looking forward to hearing from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Penny is listening to us via the EWTN app. How are you, Penny?
I'm very good, thank you. It's very, 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 I'm honored to be speaking with you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm honored to have you call into the show. So we both feel very honored in this moment, Penny.
Yeah. All right. This is my firm belief. I believe that religion is not the law of the land. Because I've seen a born-again person, it hit my soul so very badly, the way he was talking about religion being the law of the land. But we both know that born again Christian is not, it's what is it anyway? So as a Catholic, I can never say I want to have an abortion, or I'm going to say to somebody, oh yeah, you should have an abortion. But I believe that it's their decision, and I people that have made that decision, they don't feel very good after they did it. Or the people that I've known anyway. And sometimes that's another step in coming to the Lord. That's a mystery to me. But I believe that it's like a civil right versus a religious conviction.
Okay, Penny.
Oh, I heard you say, I heard you go through the whole thing, and your heart was so desperately saying, just don't do it. It's not a good idea. Catholics can never accept it. But what I'm saying is, if it's not my choice, it has to be their choice.
Okay, so I think Penny, part of what you said, I really, really like and agree with. And, you know, what the founders of our country were dead set against was that there would be a national religion, so that we do not subscribe as citizens of this country to a religion that is imposed upon the people of the land, right? God has given us all free will. I agree with that. So, you know, however, our founding fathers were very clear that this was to be a nation under God, right? We pledged that in the flag.
That's right.
Right. So
that's right.
When we say under God, that means under the laws of God, right? Which also are based on, well, let's finish this. They're based on natural law, the way in which, the reality of life works, brings us to a point where we can talk about, you know, natural law. So when we're talking about that, the founding fathers intended that there wouldn't be a prescribed religion, but that there would be a prescribed moral base for this nation. That was part of what we've got. So the part where I'm questioning has to do with the use of the word right. And I think that this is part of what has become the nomenclature of our day and time, and has become the mindset of our day and time, a cultural mindset. And so what we're saying here is that if we say that abortion is a civil right, it means then that there is a right to take the life of a human person. So what have we seen evolve from that? Pope Paul VI in Humanae Vitae spoke about where all of this would go, and he was talking about contraception. But he talked about it would lead to abortion, and abortion would lead to the devaluation of the female person. She would become objectified. That's happened. And he said even more, heinous things would occur. And now we see that people consider it a right for people to mutilate their bodies, to become something they'll never be, another sex. This is not in accordance with natural law. It's not in accordance with the law of God. So it's not a right. No one has the right to take the life of another person. Otherwise, you know, we could take each other's lives. I'm mad at you and I can kill you. And basically that is what a mother's saying to the child in the room. So I don't think they do have the right to choose, because God gives us free will. But what we want to see, what we promote, what we hope for and pray for, is that people will make decisions based on that rudder that comes by way, that directional rudder that guides us through life, that comes by way of the laws of God, And that's what our founding fathers wanted. That's what it truly means to be an American citizen. And think about this now. Our nation, you know, it's going to be, when is it going to be? Not in the too distant future. We're coming up on, what, 250 years. And if you think about that for a minute, it's only in the last 60 years that this has been the law of the land. And it's not even a law. See, that's the other part of it. It's not a law. It didn't pass through the legislative branch of the government. The Supreme Court overstepped its capacity. And unfortunately, the legislative branch didn't do anything about it. So there's complicity the whole way around. But it never really should have been something that existed to begin with. And if it never existed, we wouldn't be thinking like this. I want to recommend two books, Penny, because, I think you're a very thinking woman. Two books I think that will really help you to understand what happened is one that is written by Sue Ellen Browder, and I'm going to have to look the title of it up because I want to give it to you exactly. And another one that is written by Carrie Gress, and Carrie's book is the Anti-Woman Exposed, and you'll want to read that. And then Sue Ellen Browder's book is Subverted, How I Helped the Sexual Revolution Hijack the Women's Movement. I think you should read those. Anti-Mary Exposed, and I'm sorry, the other book is The End of Woman. Those two, Anti-Mary Exposed and The End of Woman, both written by Carrie Gress, G-R-E-S-S, and Subverted, How I Helped the Sexual Revolution Hijack the Women's Movement by Sue Ellen Browder, B-R-O-W-D-E-R. They are fascinating reads. They're eye-opening reads. They're enlightening reads. They're very accessible reads in that they're written for a popular audience. I think that you would enjoy them. I'll tell you, you'll enjoy them not because, oh, they're ha-ha fun. You'll enjoy them because they really help to anchor what we're seeing today in its beginnings and what was really going on at that time. They're fascinating. So I want to recommend them to you. I do believe that Religious Catalog has them both. I can check on that really fast for you and let you know. I think it's important for us to dip beyond what the rhetoric is today as we're making these very important decisions regarding the human person. Let me just see. I'm going to put Browder in and we'll see if her book comes up on Religious Catalog here. Thank you, everybody, for being patient with me as I do this. Yes, the book is there for you. And I know Carrie Gress's books are there. I don't even have to look that up because I know that they're there. And I've interviewed both of these women on these topics. So if you don't want to read the book, yes, her books are there. If you don't want to read those books, you can simply go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and you can watch. You can watch the programs that I did with them. You can put in their name, G-R-E-S-S, and Browder, B-R-O-W-D-E-R. I've done lots of programs with Carrie and a couple of programs with Sue Ellen. But I appreciate your thoughts, and I'm glad that you called in today to weigh in. I always love hearing from people who have, something to say. And so I agree with you, and then I got to take a little issue with you on the rights issue. But I appreciate it, Penny. Thanks for calling today. Well, friends, we are winding down here. I don't know if I've got any time left for anyone else. I'm hoping so. We've got a few minutes left here, and we invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. One of the things that I think that we have to be very cautious of today, and I say this to myself and to all of us, is that we do not become scathed by the soup that we're in. We exist within a soup, and that soup is the culture. And you know how it is with soup, you can spill it on yourself and it's going to stay, right? It's going to stain your clothing. Walking through the culture of the day, we are exposed to the soup. The soup clings to us, you know, gets on us without our even striving to make it happen. And we've got to take some time to do a serious examination of the conscience, to ask ourselves, to what extent have I become influenced by what I'm hearing? And we're always influenced to some extent by what we're hearing. But we've got to take it, and the way in which we know if it's a good influence or a bad influence is holding it up to the revealed truths of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. We were put on this earth at this time because God wants to use us to be purveyors of the truth, not to become victims of the day and time. He wants for us to be those that are the light, you know, on the hillside. He wants for us to be the leaven. He wants for us to be the salt of the earth. So yes, it's always going to be countercultural to be a Christian. It's always going to be countercultural to be a Catholic if we are truly living our faith. And the only way we know what the church teaches is by reading what she's given us and reading sacred scripture. God bless you now. Bye-bye.